Gideon's, of course, it was many years back that the Gideons were founded and got started and going. And how it all started actually was back when two men that were businessmen were traveling, and at this hotel, they did not know each other at all, right? But the hotels, if they got kind of full, then in those days, they would just put people in other rooms with you, right? You see, the character in those days was a little different, if you recall. Like, everybody was expected to be trustworthy and decent and proper. And so it was no big deal. So these guys got stuck together in a hotel room. And as they got visiting, they were both believers and got fellowshipping. They were both businessmen. And they wanted to do something for ministry, to help reach out to other people. And they got talking, how can we, as businessmen, we're not ministers, how can we have an outreach to people? And they got talking, and thus, through a long little stretch there, the Gideons got going as they met in a hotel. And, of course, one of the big things they've done has been putting Bibles in hotels for years and motels. But now, all of a sudden, there's another little problem. Have any of you traveled lately? If you have, what is there for papers in a hotel right now? Like nothing. They're afraid they have to clean them. And so the Bibles and the phone books and the TV guides and everything have been stacked aside. And so pray that that will work out where the Bibles can get back in there and be back in, because that's going to be a complicated thing. That's been a big part of the Gideon ministry. And all of a sudden, they're like, everybody's got microphobia, afraid of every germ that might live somewhere, somehow, for some time or whatever. And so you can pray for that. One thing that's I've been encouraged with that's happened lately is just as of last week, the jail opened for Bible study again. And so I was in there this time as a mask man, but, you know, I was able to have the Bible study at the jail this week again, and that had been shut down since the end of March back when, so I'm thankful for that. Of course, the Gideons are always working on trying to get God's word out and reach others with it, and they like to encourage their people to really live it and put it into practice. Just this, I don't know if you can see this or not, but just this last issue, it says, witness to work. And what are they encouraging? They're encouraging their people to be a good testimony at work and to witness and share the gospel with people as appropriate and to be able to share and get God's word out. And of course, foreign things, some of that travel's been interrupted, but you know what? Ministries are still going on and doing fine, and Bibles are getting handed out, and I've heard of zero outbreaks from somebody getting a Bible, right, as far as with a disease or anything like that. And so those are going to keep going on, and ministry can keep happening, and because God's word getting into the hands of people is important. To this day, even with all the electronic things that people can do, there's testimonies fly in and keep coming about people getting the New Testament, reading it, taking it to heart. Speaking of which, if you're ever around one of those Gideon Bibles, anything for many years now, unless you have a really old one, always has a simple gospel presentation in it that you can use to share with other people. You open that up, and in the back cover, there's going to be, in the front they always have the helps, in the back there's going to be a simple gospel presentation with an invitation to the person to accept Christ, a possible sinner's prayer to use with them and say, you know, would you like to tell the Lord this and trust Him as your Savior? And you can use one if you see one. It's a nice witnessing tool as well. Today, of course, it's Valentine's Day, and there's a lot of good things with different things of love, and there's lots of different aspects of it. And the Bible talks about it in a lot of ways. In fact, when you look at the what Jesus said, of course, was the greatest commandment. What's that? We're going to look at a few things from that and talk about some about a few things with love today. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 and through 32, it says, I'll start with 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And of course, Jesus talked about how all the commandments could be filled up in that, and that's a commandment. Now, with love and command being commanded to, right, that doesn't go exactly along with all the just the feeling things, right? Because feelings are hard to command, right? People's feelings aren't necessarily there. But what's real love? Of course, it's so many faceted, it's impossible to explain it all, right? You could talk about it for weeks on end, talking about the different aspects of it. But Jesus talked about love and how a person loves God and how it's shown and how people know about it. Many years ago, well, not too many, but some years back, there was a, in fact, I'm sure it's not the only time it's happened, there was a guy's funeral, and the minister said, you know, he really loved God and the Bible. And when I heard that, I wasn't sure if he was talking about the same guy or not. But as you know, ministers feel quite some obligation to make the person sound pretty good to give some comfort to the family, right? And so they'll sometimes stretch things a little for that. But yeah, he said he really loved God and the Bible. But, well, I got a question. How do you know if somebody loves God or doesn't? How can you tell? You can't see their thoughts. You can't, you know, you don't know what they're thinking or not thinking. But Jesus was pretty clear, and he told how you could tell. And we're going to pick up a few things in John chapter 14, where Jesus is talking about some things that go with that and are very make it clear. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day shall ye know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So here, Jesus a couple times tells how you can tell if a person loves God or if they don't. Right? In verse 20 he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." And then again in chapter 20 or verse 23 says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." If a person loves God, it will make them obey. Because if a person truly loves the one who's in charge and cares about what they want, what do you do? Well, you want to do what they want. You will want to obey if we love God, and they will. Now, will anybody obey perfectly? You know, nobody will obey perfectly. Everybody is a sinner, even the best people. You know, sometimes here I've been going through the Kings some, right? And here's Asa, and he loves God and tries to clean house and get rid of the evil. But he doesn't do it perfectly. He ends up getting upset when he shouldn't have time. And it's easy. Everybody has some issues. In fact, when we look at the first commandment, right, and what it is, it points out something to us, right? When Jesus was speaking there and he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy strength." And let's see. Has anybody ever kept that commandment? You know, anybody that tells you they've kept the Ten Commandments, ask them about the first one, right? They might not even know what it is. But if they can say they've always loved God with all their heart and mind and strength and really always, you know, anybody you know that's kept that, always cared about God the more than anything, I'm afraid that shows us right up front that we're all guilty. And even no matter how much we love God, we've never done it perfectly. And probably not to the extent we had. That should be our heart's desire. We should want to, and we should try to, and we should think about that. But there's been times in everybody's life where they haven't cared about God, or where they haven't thought about him, or where they've acted like he didn't exist. Now, the guy who it was said at the funeral that he really loved God in the Bible, as near as I could tell, he acted like neither of them existed. And his testimony of even with his lifestyle, right? Well, he died drunk. And his favorite place was not church, it was the bar. But I did talk to a pastor one time that had done many funerals, and I said, why is it? And I've been to a lot of them over the years, right? I've grown up with lots of older friends, all most of my life I've been to lots of funerals over the years and lots of neighbors. But anyway, I said, why is it that at these funerals, for people who their faith is like in major question, if there was any, right? Why is it those funerals, they always tell about their baptism and their confirmation and any time they went to church. But with people that have a clear testimony for the Lord, their life shows it, they never have to tell about all these details, right? I said, why is that? They said, oh, that's easy. They said, if somebody's really saved, right, and they're living for God and doing good, you don't have to tell their family about it and encourage the family. They know about it. But if it's in major question, they said, we got to try to give them some comfort. And so then we want to try to make them as good as we possibly can so the family has some comfort. So, okay. So they'll stretch. And it kind of reminded me of the one bumper sticker that said, you know, you should live your life so the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. Right? Because they feel a lot of pressure to give some comfort to the family that's grieving when the lost one had no testimony. So anyway, you can tell if a person loves God by what they do in their life. Because if they don't care about what God thinks and they want to just do their own thing, do they love God? According to Jesus, they don't. He said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. If a person doesn't love God, they don't care about it. And of course, it's what a person does as a rule of life, what they want to do. Not that anybody is perfect, because we are all guilty and nobody does it perfectly. But the general guideline should be to try to obey God and want to. Jesus made it clear that those that loved him and that he was close with, those were the ones that obeyed him. In verse 10 of chapter 15, he said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, with loving God, we know it's trying to do what God wants us to do and obey and keep him. And part of that is obeying his commandments, including about witnessing and about staying from evil and about doing what's right and that. But the next commandment that was mentioned was to love your neighbor as yourself. what does loving your neighbor look like? And sometimes you hardly see your neighbors. I know I heard one preacher many years back saying the worst thing ever invented was a garage door opener. He said, now you don't see your neighbors anymore. They just, you know, of course, that's city people that lived right next to each other that at least would have to get out and open their door. Well, then they said they just buzzed it up and they hardly saw them anymore. But how do you love your neighbor? How does it show? Well, a lot of love is trying to meet honest needs in people's lives, right, and problems. It's nice having around here. We live in generally a very good place. If, you know, if you're broke down along the road, somebody's probably going to stop and help you. And if you see your neighbor stuck in the ditch and it's cold out, what are you going to do? You're going to help them out. And that's meeting a real need. And I think that I don't think hardly anybody would drive by if they were coming home late at night and they saw one end of their neighbor's house on fire. They'd go get them. They'd go wake them up and say, and they'd call and they'd try to help, right? They'd do everything you could to help. But sometimes our neighbor's house is on fire and we don't necessarily see it all the time because they're lost and maybe the fire's not to them yet, but they're headed for it. They're lost. They're in their sin. And do we warn them about it? If you really love a lost person, right, that you're around, what will you do for them? Well, love tries to meet the need, and you'll try to help them get saved and warn them about coming judgment. If the lost, if the person's house was on fire, I don't think there's anybody hardly around with any good moral character that wouldn't try to help save their neighbor. But it's just as real that any lost person is on their way to hell, and they're on their way to fire. And if we love them, what will we do? We'll try to warn them and help them. Now, you can't make people listen to you. You can't make them want to say, but you can do your part. You can do everything you can. You can offer help. If you stop by and your neighbor was in the ditch and he had his shovel and you said, hey, I'll help you out. You can come warm up in my car. I'll give you a ride out. He said, no, I don't mind. I'll get out. I'm keeping warm, shoveling this snow. I'll make it out of here. Well, you can't make him come get in your car and warm up. Now, hopefully you'll want to. And same with spiritual things. You can try to help them, and you should. It's our duty as believers. If we really love people and care about them, will we say, I don't need to try to help them. Somebody else will help them out. No. If we love them, we will try to help them and try to meet their needs. And of course, a lost person, their need is to come to faith in Christ. They need to avoid judgment to come. They need to avoid that. And of course, obeying God, is part of it is preaching the gospel to everybody, to sharing what we can and when we can. Now, we can't all the time do it. There are different ways. Sometimes it can be through a gospel track or a video or just a word for the Lord or letting them know you're concerned about them. But if you care, you know what will happen? You'll find out a way to share with them. If you've got somebody lost around you, you can figure, and you care, you can figure out a way to share with them. Sometimes it can be a simple little question or a simple little thing, but you can figure out a way if you care enough to do it. There's different things. I had a neighbor that was kind of a church-going guy, and I figured he was lost. And I thought, how do I share with this guy that thinks he's pretty good and probably really isn't trusting in the Lord, just probably trusting that he's okay, and I just, from around him, and that I know what to do. I thought, when we talk about church things, right, I can share with him, oh, and who does everybody know about in church? Who is everybody that's kind of on the edge? Who do they know about that comes to church? Hypocrites. Yeah, that's what they know about. There's people that come to church that aren't really real believers, right? Because they heard so-and-so went to church. And guess what? They were at the bar back when with them. And they know what they're like, right? So people are always kind of aware of some hypocrites. So I thought, I know what I'll do to get them on the page. And we talked just a little bit of things about church, and I said, you know, where a person's at in church, right, doesn't matter near so much as where they're at in their heart. But people can sit anywhere and be lost. In fact, I said, in most any church of any size, there's probably people on their way to hell. And guess what? Oh yeah, he was right on the page. And I got to share the gospel with them and all and have a good time sharing it. It went good and his heart was listening. He said he got tingles going up and down in him when he was getting under conviction, I figured. You know, because he knew the Lord was spoken to him. And, you know, I'm not sure what happened. He ended up moving away, but I was glad I was able to share. Actually, I hope to catch up with him again because I know where he lives. But when you care about somebody and a lost person, what does love do? It tries to meet the real need. It tries to help with the real need. And not that we don't all fail at it at times and not don't carry through maybe like we should, but we should care and love people the most. Love, real love meets needs. Of course, it's nice with husband and wife love and where there's the emotional things and the fun things, but a lot of love doesn't have all the emotion things in. Even with loving God, right? How many people just get tingly and warm feelings and think, oh, I just love God, I want to be with him? You know, normally that's not there. But real love for God says, I'm committed. In fact, even with a lot of relationships and things like that, right? Tingly feelings don't last all the time and they're not always there. But real love says, I want to meet the needs. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be committed. I want to do what is good for them. And if we're going to love God, it involves, of course, like Jesus said, it all involves obeying. It involves loving others and caring about them. Not only in family, and that's good, and with kids, it's good. And what kind of parents love their kids? In Proverbs it said, you know, he that loveth him chasteneth him. Oh, he spanked him. Parents that cared enough to make their kids obey, give them correction when they need it, right? Because love meets needs. And if that's what's needed, that's what they give them. And love meets needs when there's a lost person, when there's somebody having a problem, when there's somebody, if there was somebody that was hungry, what does it do? It feeds them. It takes care of things. Love meets needs that are real and takes care of them. Do we love God as we should? Well, I'm sure we don't as much as we should. But if we do, what will we want to do? We'll want to obey. And we'll say, oh, yeah, God wants me to do this. If we love our neighbor, what do we want to do? Be kind, helpful. When there's a need, especially with the lost person, we need to meet that need and help what we can and be faithful and kind and loving and not just, what does the opposite of love do? It ignores, it doesn't pay attention to, it just becomes self-centered. Everybody loves themselves, right? And of course, God says to love your neighbor as yourself. We always look out for our own needs. We take care of our own things. But when we love God, we should care about what he wants. And when we love neighbors, we should care about what they need and what things help them. Today is Valentine's Day, a day we think about love things. And a lot of times it's on the romantic end, and that's all good. And it ought to be kept fresh and warm in marriage, and things ought to be kept good that way and committed. But a lot of love is obedience. A lot of love is believing God and trusting him and doing what he wants. Do we love God or don't we? He said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. But if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Where's our heart at today? Do we love God? Do we want to obey him? Do we want to trust and follow him? I trust that's your heart, and I hope you want to live for God and love God and your neighbors. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? And right there in your heart, we'll have just a little time of silence if you want to ask God to help you love him more, or you need to make plans to really meet a need of someone that you care about, we'll just have a little bit of silence before I close. Lord, I thank you for your word that shows us about true love and caring for others. I pray that you would help us to be faithful and wanting to follow and obey you and love you, and that we would care about those around us that don't know you, that we would warn as we should and point to the way of forgiveness and cleansing as we should. And I pray that you would just fill our hearts with your love for you and for those around us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Art. And I haven't even had a chance to talk to Gail yet this morning, so happy Valentine's Day, Gail. I have this pin at home. It's something that was made, I think, for Gail's high school. She's embarrassed back there. Her 10-year reunion, they made pins.